This is Robert Merlacci of the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's leading learning and technology e-magazine. We're fortunate to have joined us today for a Mindshare Learning moment as part of our November Cross Canada Spotlight in Alberta. Jamie McNamara, Superintendent, St. Thomas Aquinas Roman Catholic Schools. Jamie has been the superintendent with St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Schools since 2005. Before that, he was division principal, principal, vice principal, and teacher with Red Deer Catholic, and a teacher with Fort McMurray Catholic. He earned his B.Ed. and graduate diploma at the University of Alberta and his MSc at the University of Oregon. He has received the Leduc Niscu EDA Ambassador Award, the Notre Dame High School Spirit Award, and the ATA Council of School Administrators Distinguished Leadership Award, as well as two other awards for his work as a hockey referee. And thank you for joining me today, Jamie, taking time out of your busy schedule.
Thank you, Robert. I look forward to this opportunity.
Well, certainly, Alberta has prided itself with the leadership of your former Minister of Education, Dave Hancock, on being a leader and having the best education system in Canada. And lots of good things happening, and particularly at your school district as well. Perhaps you can give us a quick little snapshot of, you know, your district, number of teachers, students, and schools.
Okay. Our division is a small rural Catholic division in central Alberta, located just south of Edmonton. Leduc is where the airport is in Edmonton, and that's our major center. We have 10 schools and approximately 3,000 students and about 160 professional staff and another 200 support staff. So we cover quite a large geographic area, but in terms of students, we are a relatively small division.
Well, with that, it brings certain challenges and opportunities, doesn't it, when it comes to integrating ICT? Ron Canuel, the current CEO of the CEA, ran the formerly of the Eastern Township Schools. He was able to introduce the first one-to-one initiative for laptops amongst all students because he was smaller and nimble. So are you able to leverage some of that in terms of deploying solutions across the district, whether it's Web 2.0 tools or interactive whiteboards for that matter?
Absolutely, and I'm not even sure if it's leverage or it's necessity in mm-hmm. terms of doing that. And we offer a number of our high school programs either through Skype or another medium that we're piloting in January is where teachers are recording webcasts in grade 12 math and physics, and then they are able to be used in other high schools to offer those courses where they may not have the student body to have a teacher to offer those courses.
Well, that begs the question, is enrollment declining as it is in most districts across Canada, or how are you in that case?
We're very much an anomaly in that case. We are growing. In fact, I think we may be among the largest growth in Alberta this year. We recorded about 11.5% increase in our student enrollment.
Oh, fantastic. Now,
it's a combination of we have some growing communities. Of course, the Alberta economy tends to be moving along. But I think I'd like to say some of it, too, is the quality of teaching and success in our achievement that's making a difference as well.
Very cool. Now, just so we're clear, in Alberta, if I'm a student in one district and I choose to move to another without physically moving house, I can do that? The money follows me? Is that my understanding correct?
That's exactly right, Robert. Alberta, as with Ontario and Saskatchewan, Catholic schools are fully publicly funded, and parents, provided there is program and space for their children, can move freely from the public system to the Catholic system.
And from one school to another?
Yes, again, dependent on program and space, transportation is not always provided.
Okay. Well, that's good to know because it's very restrictive here in Ontario, which has posed challenges for our own kids in the past. But very interesting. Now, you've had a leadership change in government and a new education minister. We're kind of sad to see Minister Dave Hancock leave his seat because he was considered to be among the best in the country. So you've got a new minister on the hand.
I would share your sentiments. I was disappointed to see Minister Hancock relieved of his duties as far as education. I was really hoping he would stay for at least another year. He has implemented some very, very strategic and visionary moves in terms of the rewriting of the Education Act and some of the work he did around an initiative called Inspiring Education, where it was an ongoing consultation with stakeholders from across the province to say, what do we want education to look like in 20 years? And it's with anticipation that we're waiting for our new education minister, whether he's going to continue with some of these initiatives. I believe he will. I think he's a much more practical, pragmatic thinker. He's a former teacher. He still has children in the education system in Edmonton, so he's very much in tune with the system, so that's not a concern. But whether he is a visionary to the degree that Minister Hancock was, we're waiting with anticipation. He really hasn't shown his cards at this point in terms of where he would like to take the education in Alberta.
It sounds like he's still getting settled into his new role. So what's the funding situation like in your district and across the province these days?
Well, we experienced a significant cutback in our funding last February in the budget for 2011-12, but with the election of a new premier 2 weeks ago, one of her platform promises was to inject some of the reduced grants that were eliminated in February, and an injection of about $1.7 million $107 million was injected back into grants. Some of it is targeted money that is going into specific grants to do with distance and travel and costs that the district would incur. And some of it was given to us to address class sizes and discretionary funding in that regard. But it sounds like a lot of money, but when you spread it over some 700,000 students, it's about $150 per student. So it's a welcome gift, but we still are dealing with some issues in terms of infrastructure and technology and class sizes. But I think the other thing that we're hearing from the current new minister and the new premier is they initiated a three-year cycle for health funding last year, and it will be sustainable funding for healthcare, and they're looking at doing that for education as well, so that we could do three-year planning, whether it's infrastructure or hiring or technology or curriculum changes, that we will know what our funding will be. One of the issues, and I've spoken about this before, is that we ride a real roller coaster in Alberta in terms of feast and famine with our budgets. When it's feast, we do very, very well. And when it's famine, it's hard to maintain what we've established. So it's one of those things that we're hoping the minister will follow through and the premier with the sustainable funding. But I think the future looks bright.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, mobile learning and media awareness is our theme for November. What are some of the challenges and opportunities in your district when it comes to addressing situations as and a growing trend is bring your own device or wireless throughout the school building and those sorts of things? And it is Media Awareness Week upcoming in November, and are students becoming more savvy about the dangers of web and social media, or do we have a long way to go in that regard?
Okay, I'll break that out and try to answer one question at a time.
That was a loaded question. Sorry.
We're very fortunate. We've had a real focus on technology and technology implementation and enhancement right across the division. 100% of our classrooms have projectors and internet link in them. About 80% of our classrooms have interactive whiteboards in them, and about 50% of our classrooms have amplification systems for our students to enhance their learning. And 100% of our schools have both secure and public wireless access in them. So we're right on the cusp of introducing student-owned devices or students bring your own devices to school. Two of our schools are piloting that this year, where we're opening it up to students bringing their devices. Of course, the challenges there are security. Our technology people have some real concerns about the ability of students to hack into our security or what they're bringing into the school. And the second issue there, of course, is equity in terms of do all students have access to these devices, and how do we even the playing field for those students who cannot afford the devices that are necessary to enhance their learning?
Absolutely.
The other one that's a bit of a myth that I'm finding more and more in speaking to our teachers as we go down this road is there's a bit of a myth out there that our children are absolutely tech savvy. And they are in the areas of Facebook and texting and gaming. But when it comes down to any research skills or the ability to discern from what may be factual material or what may be just posted material on credible sites or not so credible sites is a real challenge. And to answer your last question in terms of the dangers of web and social media, just the whole idea and the way society has gone, I mean, reality television or Facebook, where people are just posting their own personal or what we're seeing in terms of celebrity lives exposed, unfortunately we have desensitized ourselves to that almost to the point where our children feel this is the norm. And I think we are paying the price for that, and we'll continue to pay the price until that pendulum swings back and we find some ways to address that, because we're dealing with that every day in school from a discipline point of view in terms of people, you know, posting pictures that are inappropriate or posting things, comments about people. And there is spillover in the school, and like it or not, it becomes a discipline issue that the principal has to deal with. And there's always winners and losers in that. Some parents feel it is our place to intervene, and some parents feel it's not.
Well, you've raised some really good points and given a really unique perspective, Jamie, and the misconception that parents and people might have when it comes to media awareness and effective use of technology in a school day particularly. I know at my kids' school, they actually will confiscate your cell phone or PDA if it's seen visible in the hallway, in the classroom, unless it's a specific project-based activity, you're not permitted to utilize it for a lot of reasons.
I think we only have about two schools that are still there. I talked to our administrators last year to say we have to get beyond banning the cell phone.
Right.
We have to find ways of using it. And what we've gone to now, not unlike the peanut banning, we now have peanut-aware schools where we're just making students aware of proper protocol. Likewise, we have electronics-aware schools where there is times to use them and times when you don't.
Well, that's a great idea, and I'm so glad to have you on the call today because you're sharing some really relevant and useful information for our listening audience, and I appreciate that perspective. Now, from an ICT perspective, Interactive whiteboards still popular? Are they being well utilized in the classroom these days?
They are. My concern with the impact of technology is not, technology in itself is not going to achieve any student success or anything along those lines. Technology is a tool, like any other educational tool that we've used for hundreds of years. It's very dependent on the teacher and how the teacher uses it, how effectively they use it. And in the end, I do believe that technology does engage students to a better degree, to more of a degree than possibly other tools that we have. But if students are engaged, obviously they're going to do better. Their success rate is going to improve. So I believe it's a tool. I think some of our teachers have become masters at engaging this tool, engaging the students. Some of them have a ways to go, though.
Absolutely. And the reason I asked you about interactive whiteboards is because SMART happens to be in your backyard in Calgary, so a great Canadian company that I'm sure supports the province well and the education system. Professional development is always a challenge, I'm sure, as I've seen in other jurisdictions.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. We're predominantly SMART in our buildings, although we do use some other products as well and tend to compare those and certainly run them through a process when we're purchasing new items. But you're absolutely right. It's professional development. And it's a passion for engaging these tools in the classroom. But for the most part, the way that we deploy them is the teacher has to build a case and show a real desire for having a board in their classroom. It's not automatic that a board will appear, but you have to show some initiative to get a board in your classroom.
Absolutely. That makes great sense. So, in terms of student success and ICT, is that you're seeing the benefits? Are you partnered with any universities, or is there research done by faculty or action research at all when it comes to measurement? I know there's always the question of, is it really making a difference?
No, I would love to get involved in a partnership with that kind of research because it's all anecdotal. I mean, we know that good teaching, we know that student engagement is going to improve student success. But to be able to quantify technology is making a difference in this student's success, we don't have any research in that regard. I'd love to get involved in a project like that.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, speaking of projects, we are officially have launched our fourth annual MindShare Learning Classroom Teacher Video Challenge. So I encourage you to share that with your teachers because of all the great things they're doing. And that submission deadline is Friday, December the 16th, 2011. So I thought I'd get in a plug for us there. And given your focus and great things that are happening. Do you have any final thoughts to share with our leadership, listenership, Jamie?
First of all, I'll plug you back. I have forwarded that to our staff, and hopefully some of them will embrace that and give their students some exposure through that opportunity. So
excellent
work. I guess the biggest thing is getting back to technology as a tool. I don't feel it replaces good teaching. I still believe that the number one impact on student learning is the teacher and the teacher effectiveness. But I believe, like many, many other tools in education, that technology is a fantastic tool for engaging students and giving them another medium for which to present. I mean, we just don't see handwritten reports anymore. Some do, because that's their medium of learning. But when you give them the opportunity to do a video or a PowerPoint or some other way of expressing and demonstrating their learning, we engage that many more students. So it is a tool, but it is the teacher that makes the difference, in my opinion.
Thank you so much for your insights today, Jamie. That concludes our podcast interview with Jamie McNamara, Superintendent, St. Thomas Aquinas Roman Catholic Schools. My name is Robert Merlanchi, and until next time, keep the learning curve steep.